catch the same burden that I have. I'd like you to turn to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse number 17. Paul saying to the Corinthians, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So there's a recreation process in each and every one of us. Now, Adam and Eve had children, and we're descendants from Adam and Eve. But with angels, God had to create each angel individually because they didn't produce after their own kind. But the same process happens with the born-again Christian. We aren't produced because there's another Christian, but we are actually created by God, each and every one of us. And then it goes on to say, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." And we find that the angels desire to look into what we have offered to us, because even though they're in a limitless place, they're in a heaven far beyond this world, they still see something more valuable in us than they do in their own position. And then if you go to Acts, the 1st chapter, verse number 8, very familiar. Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And then if you'll go to Revelation, the 1st chapter, verse number 10. John saying, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the 7 churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea." And then verse number 17, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter, the mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches." Lord, we ask your blessing and anointing upon the word of God. Lord, allow it to be fresh. Touch it. Touch us. Help us, God, to have a better insight and purpose of our life. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We know that there are angelic beings in this place that we can't see. Every time we gather together, there are angels that are in here, and the reason I know that is because Hebrews 1 and 14 tells us they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation, and that's us. And so every time we gather ourselves together, there are angels in here. We don't see them. Sometimes God pulls the curtain back. Some people see angels in this place. I've had dozens of people tell me this. But in the verse that we read in Revelation, the word angel in the Greek means a messenger to bring tidings or important information, or it also says to be a pastor. And so what it's really addressing is the seven pastors of seven churches. In this case, God is referring to the seven pastors, and God is holding them accountable for what they have done and what they haven't done. Now, that applies to each and every one of us. God will hold us accountable for the things that we've done, but he will also hold us accountable for the things that we haven't done. The Bible tells us if we know to do good and we don't, it's sin. And it's not just an optional blessing in some cases. It's a matter of, you know, I have to do these things because God has required them of me. Did you know that we will all be held accountable? Everyone, especially with the valuable information that has been given to us about salvation. Our responsibility is not to save people, it is simply to give them the plan of salvation, because we're not in charge of saving people. People save themselves by responding to the information that is given to them. Each of us have been given information, and we could have walked away from it, never come into a Pentecostal church at all, or walked away from it 3 months after we've been in the church. So whose responsibility is that? It isn't the person who gave them the information. It's not because this book isn't right. It's because they didn't respond or stay with the Word of God. In Acts 2 and 38, Peter gave people the message. He was then put in the category of an angel because he was a messenger giving that information. He became that first messenger bringing tidings of important information. And then in Acts 2 and 40, he said, save yourselves from this untoward or perverse generation. Because you got the information, now you have to do something with it and save yourselves. The same is true for every book within the New Testament. All of the epistles are telling us this is good that you do. Now do it and save yourselves, or allow the blessings of God to fall on you, or ignore them. So if you want to earn your angel's wings tonight, you know, you must be a messenger of the most important information that is given to man. That's what God wants. The good news, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 2:38. This is the message of life that the angelic beings of heaven were never allowed to handle or give, that was always assigned to people, God's people. This message was given to Peter, the first earth angel, if you will, because he had the revelation of who God is. You don't become the earth angel because you know about Acts 2 and 38. Please hear me tonight. You don't fall in that category because, well, you know about it. You don't fall into the category of angel because you've obeyed Acts 2 and 38, or because you've been in Pentecost for the last 30 years and been faithful to all of the services and what you do. You become the angel that Jesus talked about in Revelation 1 by becoming a messenger of what information you have. So God is saying, I want you to become an angel here. I want to develop you into a reconciler, and I want to empower you. But the only way I can do that is for you to give the information, not hold the information, not just obey the information, not just be faithful to the... But you got to somehow give it out. We then become what God designed us to be. Revelation 1 and 20 said that they were stars in the right hand of God. Anybody want to be a star here? You can be a star in the right hand of God. Please don't get quiet on me tonight. It's something that is so vital to the well-being of the church. We can have good church, but if we don't have people lined up to get baptized and coming up here to get filled with the Holy Ghost, we're going to implode. That's right. How much power is given to those who become that messenger of God. Well, there's more joy, there's more gifts, there's more power, there's more protection, they're happy people all of the time, and that's why you will never feel better than after you have witnessed to somebody, given them information about God, or taught a home Bible study. Last night, I started a home Bible study, and I could hardly sleep at night because there was such a presence of God in that room, and there were such hungry people, people that I didn't expect were going to come, came. And, you know, I fast for these Bible studies, and it was like, this is nothing. You know, when God puts a fast on you, it seems like you're not hungry. It's not a problem whatsoever. And the excitement, Brother East called today, and I said, you know, I can live and die just doing this because it's more of my ministry than anything else. And unless you've been in that place, you don't know what I'm talking about. We put in the last two windows of our stained glass today, and I'm happy about that. Before the guy comes to put the windows in, it takes a couple of hours just to pull off the film that was on there, and then you have to scrape the glue residue that was there, and so finally got all that off, and they came, Randy, the glass man, and his brother, and I've gotten to know them very well now because they've done all these windows. Every month and a half we get two more windows, and so we put the last two in, And he said, well, you know, it's kind of sad, isn't it? And I said, do you know, we're open on Sundays, you know. And there's a relationship that has been built up. And he said, yeah, what is it, 10? You know, that's so awesome, folks. My wife was walking the dog this morning. She takes a long walk early in the morning, and she walked through our subdivision into the next subdivision, which is Bailey's Crossing. And as she was walking back, this lady came to the back door, and she waved and said, hey, do you go to that church over there? You know? She said, yeah, I do. She said, well, this guy came to clean our carpeting, And he said that I should come to that church. And I used to work with him at Delco. And he said, you really need, his name is Steve something. Can't remember his name. And then she asked my wife, well, what's your name? And she said, my name is Jane Schumacher. And she said, you're kidding. Your husband sold me the lot that I built this house on. And she said, you know, that was in 1979. That's 35 years ago. And she happened to be a black lady. Now, when I sold those lots, there were 38 lots, and I sold, her and her husband bought one of the first lots there, and there were some neighbors that found out that she and her husband bought a lot there, and they said, no, this is a restricted subdivision. We don't want them there. I'll tell you what, I said, are you kidding? I remember, I said, you know what? You don't belong in this subdivision. I will give you your money back. She said, he stood up for us. Now, 35 years later, my wife is walking the dog. Hallelujah. Amen. Earth angels. People who will open their mouth with the information that God has given them. And there's nothing like it, folks. Oh, someday I'd like to. I'm just not that kind of person. No, you're wrong. If you've got the Holy Ghost, God has empowered you in order to perpetrate this gospel. Amen. Angels announced the birth of John the Baptist. Angels announced the birth of Jesus, but heavenly angels are not permitted to bring forth the plan of salvation to individual man. So angels announce certain things, but God said, nope, that's as far as you go. You cannot make any other announcements concerning the plan of salvation. That is reserved for my earth angels. So if you'll turn to Acts chapter 8, verse number 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Okay, the angel can talk to somebody who's in the church, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man, an Ethiopian, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So the angel of the Lord pulls this guy out of a general conference. Their general conference is going on this week. Was returning and sitting in his chariot and reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit saith unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this, himself or of some other man? Then Philip, oh, I like this. Then Philip opened his mouth. There are too many people in church that open their mouth, but in the wrong way. We need to open our mouth to the people who are standing next to us at work, people who are at the drugstore and at the gas station. We need to open our mouth. How can I accept some man should guide me? And he began at the same scripture to preach unto him Jesus. And of course, as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both in the water, both Philip and the eunuch was in the sprinkling, and he was baptized. So now we see that it's just a conversation in a chariot, and all of a sudden he gets a revelation, and it's all because he opened his mouth. Same is true for Acts, the 10th chapter, where Cornelius, you know, he really wanted to know more of God, but the angel said, I can't tell you. Peter can tell you. 1 Peter 1 and 12 says, tell us that the angels desire to look into the things that God has put in our hands. Angels want to know what we're doing. There's greater rewards than what they are going to get because of what we're supposed to do. Ephesians 3 and 8 says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is the grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, he's saying it's always been a mystery. I have the information. I have the privilege to tell somebody about it. Verse 10 says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. They wish they could do it, but they can't, and we can. Are you an earth angel? Have you delivered the message? I know it might get uncomfortable, but it is our responsibility. And there's no greater joy. There's no greater excitement, folks, than sharing this gospel. I get phone calls all the time. I had a chance to talk to my barber today. Did you know that my sister-in-law came over and I was able... People get, what is it telling me? Every time we get a chance, the opportunity to tell somebody about God, there's great joy that comes into our life, and we want to tell other people about the excitement it is. Why is it there are no other denominations that get excited about this like we do? Well, we've got the Holy Ghost, and there's something that is planted within us that says, I got to tell somebody. I've just got to tell somebody. There's a great theme in the Bible concerning people that God has used. They have the responsibility of getting people across the water. Every time a great individual is used in the Bible, their responsibility is somehow to get the people that they're responsible for across the water. Noah had to build an ark, or the first church, to save his family, and they had to get his family over the water. Moses was to deliver God's people out of bondage. How did he do that? By crossing the Red Sea and splitting the water. You see the correlation here? The people were afraid, but Moses said, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And they crossed the water. Joshua had to get God's people across the water, the Jordan River, into the promised land. He parted the Jordan River so the people could receive the promises of God. It was the job description of the earth angel to get people across the water. Elijah struck the water with his mantle and the waters parted. And then Elisha, who got the mantle, the first thing he did was to strike the water, and the water parted so he could get across. Oh, and what about Jesus, who took the disciples across the Sea of Galilee in a little boat, the first church, if you will? There were some storms crossing the water, but Jesus was in the process of making his first 8 earth angels. Now the responsibility in 2014 is us to get people across the water. Somehow, we got to get them to the water. In spite of their fears and the storms and difficulties and ambitions and flesh. And there's going to be some storms in order to get them from one side to the other. There's no question about it. The frustrations that come with, well, you know, I had to rearrange my sock drawer, so I can't come to the Bible study tonight. You know, all of those excuses. I've heard them all. I've been disappointed. But nevertheless, God has never relieved me from the responsibility of getting them to the water. There's a life on both sides of the water. But only one side will bring eternal life and joy and peace right now. Our job is to lead everyone that we can to the waters of life. It's really our responsibility. Turn with me to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. First Peter 3 and verse 20. Peter's talking about which sometimes we're disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. It's a figure and a shadow. the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we find that they were saved by water in Noah's day, and they were saved by water in Peter's day, and they're saved by water in our day. If you really want to occupy that place of an angel, and that's God's calling on each and every one of us, then we too must lead someone to the waters of baptism. And you don't have to do that by yourself. We're a support group for people. You know, I'm grateful in all my Bible studies there are people who will come and support the Bible study or bring someone to the Bible study. But we all need to be involved, whether it's hosting a Bible study or inviting somebody to take them to somebody else's house who is going to teach. Brother Bear can work out arrangements. We have so many teachers in here. Why is it, now this is going to sound like a criticism, why is it that we have probably 10, 12 men who will go into the prison and teach home Bible studies when we don't always have that many people teaching Bible studies to people who are on the outside? Well, why? Because there's a captive audience there. We just go in and they're ready there. But sometimes the hardest thing to do is to find somebody in order to teach. But really, we should be a heat-seeking missile looking for somebody who has a problem, who looks like they need God because they do. Glory to God. Well, God, if they wear a blue shirt today, that means that I need to talk to them about God. Well, no. It doesn't matter what color shirt. They all need God. Everybody in this whole place needs God. Just pick out one. What's the worst that could happen? Get away from me. Leave me alone. What kind of nut are you? I've heard it all. What's the difference? They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. But there is somebody out there who is looking for what we have. They're looking for an angel to proclaim the good news to them. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Everyone needs to cross the water to be delivered from bondage, to enter into the promises of God, and to get to the ark of safety. And God has put that task in the hands of special people, not just the pastor, not just the ministry, but people who are filled with the Holy Ghost. If you have the Holy Ghost, Jesus said you have it there for power to witness. God wants each and every one of us to be stars in his right hand. Not only does God want people to cross over the water, but he also wants us to go in the flow and get deeper and deeper, like it says in Ezekiel 47. Not just up to the ankles or up to the knees, but water's a swim in. Turn to Ezekiel 47, please. And if our musicians would come. Ezekiel 47, and this is so familiar. It talks about how the water issued out eastward, out from the throne of God. But then if you'll drop down to verse number 9, it says, "And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh." So what God is saying, it's the Spirit of God. When people come in here, really, God wants to help us, folks, in this whole thing. And so as we bring people to the house of God, you're going to find that the river's going to touch them. They're going to be healed. They're going to feel something like they have never felt before. But verse number 11 says, but the miry places thereof and the marshes, that's where there's very little water. It's just puddles. It's just a place that kind of, well, it gets wet, but it's kind of mildewy. There shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all of the trees of meat, whose leaves shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his month, because their waters, they issue out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine or healing. It's issued out of here. It's like the prophet, the Shunammite's son dies, and he goes to the room, and he lays on the boy his hands, on his hands, his body is touching him, and then he has to go back out and walk to and fro and get warm. And what's happening here, church, is we come into this place, there's an anointing of God, and we get this new, fresh burden to go out and get one more and bring them back in here. Glory to God. I'm not talking to just ministers here. I'm talking to each and every one of us. It's our source of life and excitement. And if there's one thing that God wants more than anything else, is for us to perpetuate the church. Not simply by having more babies in Pentecost in the natural, but more babies in Pentecost in the spiritual. We're new creations in Christ. I guess the reason I feel so strongly about this is just what I felt last night in that room. A mother and her son stayed late after the Bible study and just wept and said, you don't know how much this means to us. You don't realize how good it is for us to hear these things taught. And, you know, I wish everybody could have that feeling. I wish everybody could feel what I felt last night, because there are so many people. We have sympathy for those people in Iraq and Syria, but we need to have sympathy for the people that are around us that are just as lost as those people there. Glory to God. Would you stand with me? Would you do this? Would you make this a matter of prayer? Would you tonight, perhaps tomorrow morning, when you wake up, simply say this, just a simple prayer. God, lead me to somebody. Now, there's a lot of things that we ask for. Some of them God gives us, and some of them God holds from us. But I know there's one prayer that he wants to respond to. God, lead me to a hungry heart. I tell you what, you'll be filled with the Holy Ghost all over again. You'll have a new joy, a new excitement in your life. You won't be able to contain yourself. You will not have to drag yourself to church. You won't have to look for an excuse not to come to church. You won't have a problem with paying your tithes. You won't have a problem with anything that happens in the church once you have the excitement of being an angel in God's hands, church. This altar is open. Would you come?